Gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Bitch, you guessed it. I'm still with my nigga. Come and test us.
I can't remember. I've been popping my
bills in a bit. Keeping it lit. Me and my clique. Me and my clique. Me and my
clique.
Welcome in. It is episode 5, week 4 of the NFL season for the Semi-Products League through 3 weeks. The league has seen a lot of ups and downs so far, and the standings are starting to take shape. At the top, we've got Full Hauschka. Rivers runs through it, both at 3-0. It seems the magic of Leicester City has made its way to the Semi-Products League. However, this week we do have to start dealing with buys. Only the Packers and Eagles this week, but that does have some impact on the rest of some pretty important rosters this week. Speaking of the roster, speaking of this week on the pod, we've got the previously mentioned undefeated Rivers runs through it. That would be Jared, the third highest scoring team in the league, as well as Marcus in Recreation. That would be Seattle's own Duncan, last name not Targaryen, as Jordan would have it. We now bring in the owner of Marcus in Recreation. Welcome to the pod, Duncan.
Hey, Ray, thanks for having me. First-time caller, long-time hater. How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Now, I'm not sure if you've been able to listen to every pod episode so far, but your team, like Scott's, took the most heat and was pretty much always mentioned when bringing up who didn't have a good team after the draft. You've got the third highest scoring team. You had the highest score in week one, the second highest score last week. Haven't made a trade or a waiver wire move, so you still got the same team everyone was bashing on. Give us a sense of what do you think of your team so far?
I'm having some issues with Andrew Luck. I'm about as confident starting him, or as comfortable starting him, as a girl running down the alley being chased. Gabby, no, but that kind of scares me. I feel like he's been up and down. I'm really happy with Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon. That kind of surprised me for the heat I took for those two. Just being how much Dallas has beefed up its line and really how much of a workhorse Melvin Gordon had to be. I do understand, I guess, the heat for Doug Baldwin. I mean, I feel like when he's up, my team has been up. When he's been down, he's down. And obviously with Russell's knee and such, I don't feel great about the coming weeks. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel pretty good about my team coming into the season, and I have trade offers coming through like crazy. I think I've had 5 or 6 offers in the past 2 weeks for Jordan Howard, which has been kind of funny. That was definitely just, a sleeper pick. But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't think I'd be, you know, one of the highest scoring teams, to be honest with you. But provided everyone stays healthy, things are looking good. Obviously, kind of been plagued by some injuries and such, but that's everybody. So
yeah, I sent about 3 or 4 of those for Hayward or Howard as well. So that was me.
Yeah.
So Jordan has brought this up a couple times. I feel like I have to bring it up now that you're on. You have Marcus in your team name. He's on your team, but he's on the bench. And for JoJo's sake, I kind of have to ask, are you actually a Ducks fan? Like, really?
Am I actually a Ducks fan? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he's made the claim you're not a Ducks fan because you've got Marcus in your team name, Marcus on your team, and yet you don't start him.
Yeah, it was tough, but with the history of Jonathan Stewart, it's more of like having pride in honestly a lack of clever names at the beginning of the season, so I felt obligated with that name to go with Marcus. And I don't know, I just don't feel like he's got the weapons that he needs to be successful, and even his decision making early on, it makes it a little bit hard to start him. Then again, Andrew Luck hasn't exactly been the best either, so I've been kind of going back and forth each week asking myself the same thing: do I really love my Ducks, or do I like avoiding as much hate as possible from my friends? So that's kind of led me to where I am now. So it's really a toss-up. I literally have each week coin flipped of if I'm going to put in Andrew or Marcus, and fate has it, Andrew Luck, 3 weeks in a row.
Well, all right. I believe you. I think you've defended yourself pretty well. Let's move on. Let's move on to the matchups for this week. We're going to start with Andrew versus Fronik. Last week, Andrew took the L after playing me. I got my first win of the season. I'm pretty pumped about that. A bad week of roster moves for Andrew. He left 85 on his bench, most notably 23 from Zach Miller, which adding him into the lineup would have put me into a huge scare going into the Monday night game. Andrew also dropped the Bills defense, so he left a lot of defensive points on the waiver wire, not even on his bench. Overall, none of Andrew's starters really performed well. Meanwhile, Fronik, I'm sure, was pooping his pants watching Tevin Coleman rush his way to 3 touchdowns Monday night, while Freeman matched him, putting up a 29, sneaking away with a 3-point win, and he had 2 players go for 0. That's absolutely phenomenal. This week, Fronik spent $20 on Kyle Rudolph in case the Gronk doesn't play. Mr. I'm not Celsius or Fahrenheit, but Kelvin Benjamin will probably get a catch against the Falcons, so he'll be better off with those two guys. Andrew is working with his full squad of lineup. No buys for him this week, but he is still going with Hunter Henry or Henry Hunter. I really don't know what his name is. At tight end as the Chargers play the Saints. So what do you see in this matchup, Duncan?
I see kind of a shit show, to be honest. I'm confused as to how Fronik is 2-1, to be honest with you, just based on decision-making alone. I like Devontae Freeman in the matchup against Carolina, actually. I don't feel like Carolina's been the defense of the past, despite that first week. I mean, obviously, they went off for 2 touchdowns. But Devontae Freeman kind of impressed me this past week. As far as, you know, the decision-making, it's cute, you know, on Andrew's part. I know, you know, big Chargers fan.
He is a pretty big Chargers fan.
But I think, you know, I understand wanting to start the tight ends. That the fans of the Chargers always seem to be pretty gung ho on them. Hunter Henry had an impressive week, I'd say, against Indianapolis, New Orleans. I mean, I think he's got a better chance than other weeks to get some points. New Orleans defense doesn't look great. I think it's cute to try and start some Chargers here. Hunter Henry, yeah, I don't know. I guess what are your thoughts there? I haven't really I'm confused as to why ESPN in the projections has Hunter Henry performing better than, I guess, Kyle Rudolph here. I know that they are playing the Giants this week, but I don't feel like the Giants have, I guess, the most tight defense either. So, I've been kind of confused and trying to kind of pick apart at least ESPN's predictions. But, I mean, they're each projected to get well over 100. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think with Hunter Henry, it's mostly that New Orleans defense, I mean, at home is bad, and then you take them on the road, they can really – you're only going to get worse. So that's going to be an issue. I think with Kyle Rudolph, I think they might be thinking that, I mean, he's only been kind of a minor target. I mean, his biggest week was last week, 7 receptions for 70 yards and another touchdown. I don't know if he'll be able to exactly replicate that. I feel like against the Giants, they might be taking the ball on the ground a little bit more. But that Monday night game, I think, other than Minnesota's defense, like, that's the only lock in that game is Minnesota's defense playing well and Eli Manning throwing about 4 picks. And I think because of that, I think they've given the advantage to Henry just based on the fact that New Orleans defense is garbage and Phillip Rivers, I think, is going to spread the ball around early in that game.
Yeah, definitely. I'm right there with you.
So looking at Fronik's team, earlier when I was writing these notes, he had the Gronk in there. He's now moved in Kyle Rudolph. If you're Fronik, do you go with Gronk having to work with Obi-Wan Jacoby Brissett and or Jimmy Garoppolo, one of the two of them, whoever's going to play, or do you stay with him starting the guy that he paid, you know, 20 of his waiver wire dollars on?
I honestly got to go with Gronk. He's going to be fired up to be back. And one way or another, I think you got to go for the biggest target on the field. When you're when you're not a seasoned quarterback, you want to go with your sure deal. And I feel like Gronk's going to come back in. He's a massive target, obviously, and probably one of the best all-around players just on that offense. So I feel like you have to go to him. They're going to rely on him, especially against excuse me, especially you know, when it comes down to it, he is, you know, their offense. And I think whether it's Brady, whether it's Garoppolo, whether it's even Edelman, I think that he's your go-to guy. And Buffalo, yeah, their defense is, has been doing all right for him. But and actually, for some reason, the Patriots seem to have a hard time there. But I really do feel like Gronk's your go-to guy here, especially just because he's a crucial part of that offense. And like we were saying, Kyle Rudolph hasn't been the biggest target. I think it's just a matter of if he's healthy and ready to go or not. Obviously, he didn't really get much time or didn't perform last week. But, yeah, I think you got to go with Gronk.
Yeah, I'm also – I mean, we've seen with Scott a lot of success going with two tight ends. I think Jerick McKinnon really underperformed Monday night, or he's going to – he performed last week, maybe could struggle again Monday night. I wouldn't be surprised if Fronik at the last minute goes with the two tight ends, considering if Gronk is healthy and really ready to go. I think last week was just kind of like a preseason test, like, hey, can you get out? He played like 15, 16 snaps, something like that, so it wasn't great. I wouldn't be surprised to see Fronik go with two tight ends in this one if he makes the late change on Sunday. So who do you have winning this matchup then?
I think I got to go with Fronik here. I just feel like he has a more solid team through and through. I think overall, I don't like the Chargers' chances. I feel like it's one of these where Phillip Rivers, whenever he comes in and he's expected to you know, perform is when he seems to fall apart. So I wouldn't be surprised, actually. I guess my bold prediction for the week would be New Orleans actually shutting down San Diego. And as a result, Fronik kind of taking the lead here.
All right. Yeah, I've got Fronik, I think, by at least 7. I don't like Andrew's running back matchups. Forte going against Seattle. Isaiah Crowell had a bad week. I don't know how Cleveland's going to recover from that. And Jay Ajayi, I don't know how he's going to play against a tough Bengals defense on a short week. For me, all of those things, I mean, that's three players right there that immediately Fronik has the advantage over. So I'll take Fronik by 7. I briefly mentioned Scott and his two tight end system. We move now to his matchup against Brandon. Last week, Austin was worried about Scoot going off, and he did it again. He put up 130. He had 25 from that strong Vikings defense, 24 from DeMarco Murray, who still clearly has a lot left and loves his 15-plus carries and receptions. But just some okay performances from his receivers, dropping the two tight ends of his lineup for Tim Hightower for some reason. Not sure why he did that. Scott's going to Scott, I guess. Brandon got 22 from Lego Boo Boo and also had a letdown week from Big Dick Decker. Palmer was too busy throwing picks to get the ball to Larry Fitz, and he couldn't be saved from a 28-point performance by Tevin Coleman on Monday night, and he still lost by 3. This week, it is another tough matchup for Palmer and Fitz against the Rams, although they are at home. Odell against the Vikings isn't great either. That Giants defense against the Vikings defense, both in real life and on Monday night in this matchup. I'm not sure another Monday night heart attack is exactly what Brandon wants, and Devontae Adams has to sit while he is on a bye. Scott is working with his two tight ends again, and his running backs match up against each other in the AFC South in Houston, and has Travis Benjamin going up against the terrible Saints defense is a great play for anyone who has him in Week 4. The projections have Scott by 13 and going over 120 again. What do you say about this one, Duncan?
I got to agree. I think the way DeMarco Murray's been playing, and especially with the lack of weapons for Marcus on offense, as far as the receiving core is concerned, I think he's going to continue kind of his dominance here this season. And I'm curious, actually, with Julian Edelman, say he does get some more snaps, and as far as points are concerned, does he just get points as if he was a quarterback and a wide receiver? I mean, that's what I'm assuming, right? Even if he's placed in a wide receiver slot?
Yeah, that's what happened with, what's his name? Brandon picked him up for like $30. That's a new league high. But
is Terrell Pryor?
Yeah, no. That's it. Yeah, Terrell yeah, Pryor. Terrell Pryor. Yeah, last week he had the 27 points, 144 receiving, 144. What is going on here? He had 144 receiving and then 21 rushing with a touchdown and then also threw for 35, and you tally all that together, so that's 27.9 points, and apparently that's worth $30 on the waiver wire for some reason. So yeah, Brandon picked him up for a lot isn't playing him. Tevin Coleman, I think at flex is a bit of a stretch there. So I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely don't know about Tevin over at flex and but yeah. So I think, you know, with the role that Julian Edelman's likely going to play, I wouldn't be surprised if he has kind of a Terrell Pryor sort of week. They're going to need to utilize him and overutilize him, I think, this coming Sunday. And I don't know how I feel about the two tight end setup that Scott got going on. That said, I think he's on a whole different plane, and he knows something that we don't. Derek Carr, I really like just on a personal level. I think he's been really entertaining to watch. And yeah, Carson Palmer, they have him, you know, leading the charge here for Brandon's team. I just don't see how he can overcome it. One thing I will say, OBJ, I don't think anything can stop him other than penalties in kicking practice nets. So I think he'll have a big game against Minnesota. And as long as Eli can down the stretch, can hold it together, I think that that's Brandon's only shot here is if OBJ really has a big game. I think Eric Decker could be a sleeper for this week with the Seahawks, the Sherman and Marshall matchup. I think Brandon Marshall will break it out for a couple, but I don't like Jeremy Lane a whole lot, and I think that that's a mismatch actually in favor of New York. So I think it'll be up to Brandon's wide receiving core to make this close, but I definitely like Scott. I see him having another big week here and sliding on over to 4-0.
Yeah, I like Scott. I think this week he's got the advantage at wide receiver, tight end, and I guess also considering flex, he's got Olsen and Kelsey. I think they're both going to have big weeks. He might have the QB advantage. It depends on how well Oakland can, you know, how good their offense and defense travel. And I really think those plays, those guys get him to 4-0. Looking at Brandon's team, you've got Jamal Charles is questionable. People thinking maybe he comes back. If it's announced, you know, in the next coming days that Charles will play, would you start Charles over a guy like Tevin Coleman?
Jeez. I don't know. I like Tevin Coleman. I think that they're I don't know how much they're going to utilize him just because I feel like they're not going to want to change, you know, their whole offense around a single game. I mean, he in the red zone, it seems like he was going to be the go-to guy, and he only had 42 yards, you know, rushing. But when they got down there, Devontae Freeman wasn't the go-to guy. Jamal Charles obviously has been their workhorse for years, but I just don't see him coming and having a big week. So I'd say you have to go with Coleman here.
Yeah, I think Coleman, I think the Falcons are now starting to realize that with Coleman healthy, how much of a change of pace he is to Freeman. I mean, Freeman's like a tiny little Doug Martin type guy in the backfield. I mean, just a lot, like muscle wise, smaller than Doug Martin. But he's back there and can kind of run past people and, you know, throw out a spin move and get by you, stuff like that. But Tevin Coleman brings a lot of speed. I think he's the much better pass catcher. He's gone for 95, 25, 47 just receiving yards. And I think that's huge. And in a game against Carolina, I think the Falcons defense or Falcons running the ball against the Carolina front seven is going to be a pretty tough one. And then Charles essentially playing for the first time in quite a while would be a bit of a stretch. Also looking at Brandon's teams, a lot of red and a lot of low red for the teams that he's going against. With that said, I don't think it's Scott by 13 that it's projected right now, but I do think Scott gets to 4-0.
Absolutely. I think that, like I said earlier, I think Scott's going to take this one. I think it's going to be up to, you know, OBJ, Eric Decker, and really Tevin Coleman on this one. I just feel like Tevin Coleman's too much of a toss-up to really, you know, hinge the game on him. It's a matter of him getting into the end zone. So I do have to take Scott. I think it's going to be Scott by 10.
Yeah, this might be hopefully not the curse of Rick and Duncan putting Scott into the loss column, but I think this might actually be the first time that Scott is picked to win in one of these previews. I don't know. Someone has to start keeping track of our picks here. So finally, Duncan, we get to your matchup against Tim by 0.1. You put up the second highest score last week, and thank God you weren't playing Jordan and we had the decimal scoring. Otherwise, we'd have to work out our first tie. That'd have been bad. Aaron Rodgers... Shady McCoy, Antonio Brown all had 20-point weeks for Tim, but it wasn't enough to overcome Jared, including the minus four from his defense not really helping. You know all about the good week that Roger had because of his boy Jordy helped you get the win, as well as the Niners forgetting to pack up their defense when they went to Seattle, and Melvin Gordon looking like the top pick that he was projected to be last year, essentially a year later. As for this week, you're favored by less than 1 point, so it could be a close one. Look into your crystal ball and tell me, what do you see in your matchup against Tim?
I think that Brian Hoyer was an interesting pick. I understand him not having Aaron Rodgers this week, but I think that's going to hurt him. I think Andrew Luck's going to come out and have a big week against Jacksonville. So I think I've got kind of the advantage there. And as far as the running back core, those guys are going to have two more big weeks. Like we talked about before, New Orleans defense is just really non-existent. So I think Melvin Gordon is going to continue to have a big week. Where I'm struggling right now, I think, is going to be the wide receiving core, as you guys have mentioned in prior weeks. Doug Baldwin's kind of a toss-up. With Russell Wilson, essentially, I don't even know. They say MCL sprain, but I don't see him coming in. And if we do have to go with our backup, then it's not going to be pretty. I think I got it. I'm kind of disappointed by the low spread here. I know that some of the guys are kind of hitting the ground running. I think Antonio Brown is going to come back and have a massive week as well. So that makes me a little bit nervous, but I don't know. I think I got this one in the bag. I think we're going to have another big week here. Really going to be hinging on that Seahawks defense too. If last week was any indication, we should have no problem taking care of Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to be my best player this week.
Yeah, you for sure missing out on having to go against Aaron Rodgers is huge, but of course at that you do miss out on playing Jordy Nelson. I think what Tim's going for is the Brian Hoyer, Alshon Jeffrey connection. While I think that's a good thing to look for with, you know, the QB wide receiver, I've gone through it with Breeze and Cooks week one. Like, if you get two guys that connect and they have a big week, it's going to, like, give you a huge advantage. But over guys like Flacco and Simeon this week, I'm not really sure if that connection is worth it, especially since Hoyer can be such a Jekyll and Hyde guy if he's going to be good or not. I don't think he performed all that well on Sunday Night Football to move into this week. The bad Detroit defense is obviously a huge bonus. And Luck is playing Jacksonville, obviously a good matchup. Are you worried that for some reason him playing in London is going to affect his play in a negative way?
No, I'm not really worried about it. Even if you go to it climate-wise, I think it's not all going to be all that different. So I think they're going to be prepared. You know, they all do, you know, Jacksonville's doing the same thing. So I'm not terribly worried. I don't think that all of a sudden London is going to bring out the best in Jacksonville's defense. So I like the matchup there with Andrew Luck. And I think, you know, he's a smart guy. He's going to work hard. After having two pretty deadly weeks, I think he's going to come on back and bring it home.
And I do like the trade Tim made earlier today to get Charles Sims from Pip. Although it is a tough matchup going up against Denver at home, it really helps out Tim's running back. I think instead of with McCoy and Sims going together and being able to play one of Forsett and Matt Jones is a lot better than basically playing both Forsett and Matt Jones at an RB2 or a flex. Because looking at Tim's bench, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of great options to put in there. So that definitely helps him out a lot. And for me, I mean, this is a 1 or 2 point game. I think the projection, the line is about right. I'm not sure about the numbers. I really see this being a 1 or 2 point game either way. Really even, really tight battle, and it probably comes down to just a couple. Really, the Steelers defense on Sunday night, I think, is the latest player in this matchup. So it really comes down to how well the Steelers play.
Yeah, I'm hoping we have a repeat of last week.
That would be very helpful to you. All right, well, thanks, Duncan, for being on. Good stuff, and thanks for finally making it on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That's three matchups down. There's three more to go. It's time for Jared to join the pod again. He had to be subbed out because of his job and his responsibilities for whatever those are. Let's give a warm semi-pro ducks welcome to Jared, owner of A Rivers Runs Through It.
Man, Rick, how is it going? Welcome to week four of fantasy football. It feels great to be back. I want to apologize to all my dedicated fans out there. I know they were looking forward to me last week being on the pod, but, you know, life comes calling. I'd like to thank the people that stepped up in my place. I think, was it Luke and Brandon that stepped up in my place?
It would be Scott, actually, who stepped up for you.
Oh, Scott. Good old softy Scott. Thanks, man, for stepping up. And I know it's not your takes weren't quite as hot as mine, but it's right. I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready for this week.
Yeah, so 3 weeks in, second highest scoring team in the league, undefeated. Things going pretty good so far?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I feel even better that knowing that Scott is the only person in front of me, and we all know his eventual demise is coming sooner rather than later. And I'm looking forward to taking over the top spot and holding it for the rest of the way through this thing.
All right, moving on to the matchups. We're going to start with Pip and Austin. Been a pretty terrible start for Pip, and he just wanted to get this out there and say, quote, I just want everyone to know that my team that I hold on, let me start that again. I just want everyone to know that I think my team sucks just as much as you do. And Jordy Nelson is a I've redacted this word head bum. So with that said, Pip had actually a pretty solid week from Sims, Landry and Mark Ingram all got over 20 points and got touchdowns, which never happens for Pip. He just needed a little bit more from Cobb and maybe the rest of the Steelers offense for some kicker points. Not the worst week in the world for Harambe Watch. He would have beaten Austin's team, who put up the league low in scoring. Outside of Breeze and Hill, none of his players even got close to breaking 10, including Matthews, who went out with a minus 5 early after a fumble. So looking to this week, Pip has made some interesting moves, adding two defenses, including the underrated Eagles defense, who are on a bye this week. And right now, he does have a kicker, but when I wrote these notes, he didn't have a kicker on his roster. So again, that should help with the projections. Austin gets the Eagles bye week at a pretty good time for Ryan Matthews so he can heal up, but it's no big deal for Austin this week as he's going with a full squad lineup as well. Jared, read up on the tea leaves. What do you have for Harambe Watch against Bend It Like Odell?
All right. First, I want to go back and talk about Pip's previous week. I got a couple hot takes on his trade that just went down. Was that earlier today, or at least it was upheld today, correct?
It was upheld. Yeah, it went through like 2 in the morning.
Okay. Basically, going over Pitts last week here, having really good outings by Charles Sims. We all know that Doug Martin went down with hamstring injury. He's going to be out the next 2 to 3 weeks. So having Sims, which he got in the trade from Jarch, correct? When he dealt with Des Bryant?
Yep.
Okay. Landry had a good week with 23 points. Kind of nice to see Tannehill and the other wide receivers down there, Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker, they're all definitely on the same page with Tannehill recently. Let's see here. And Mark Ingram, 20 points. We all know that Falcons-Saints game Monday night was going to be a big-time score. So when him coming out of the backfield catching passes, you know he's going to have a good night. Let's see here. But the Sims, I want to talk about this trade. First off, Rick, what's your take on this trade? He traded away Sims for Crowder, correct? Straight up?
Yeah, I believe so. That was the trade.
What's your take on that, or have you not thought about it too much?
I know Pip has said that I was talking to him about trades, and he brought up like 2 or 3 guys that he really liked on his team. He said that if he went 0-3, he would probably start a fire sale, and I'm sure if he goes 0-4, he's going to have a fire sale. I think it's interesting. I thought about I sent a couple trades for Sims as well, and then I realized I don't really want Sims because, one, bad matchup this week against Denver's defense, and Doug Martin is eventually going to come back, and he's probably going to lose that job. So I don't know if anyone that I'm willing to give up now is really going to be worth having a backup later. Other than that, I mean, the trade to get Sims from Jordan and to get rid of Des Bryant when he did, I think was a great move. Considering Des Bryant has the broken bone in his leg, we'll get to that when we talk about my matchup.
That's true.
I think it's a pretty balanced trade. I mean, looking at Crowder, he's gotten into the end zone, which obviously is going to be huge for Pip. Back-to-back weeks with 6 receptions, followed up by a big week of 78 yards and a score. So I mean, that Washington offense against Cleveland is a pretty good matchup. I think it's a pretty balanced, even trade. I talked about it with Duncan. This really helps out for even a couple weeks. It helps out Tim's running backs going with McCoy and Sims while only starting one of Forsett and Matt Jones instead of having to start both of them.
Right. I definitely agree. I went back and forth. When I first saw this trade go through, I had a knee-jerk reaction, thinking I was like, Pitt, what are you doing? Sims put up a ton of points last week. I think that offense is clicking. And when you have Jameis and Mike Evans hooking up, it really opens up that run game, especially Sims comes out of the backfield in our half PPR. He's got incredible value as of now. So I was like, what is he doing? You know, why would he do that? Crowder? But now looking into it, Crowder is trending up ridiculous. In the past three games, he's had at least 7 targets. Like you said, he found the end zone last week. He's still behind Pierre Garçon on the depth charts, but obviously that's been jack shit. It's all about targets. Also looking at it, you touched on it, Sims is playing Denver's D, which we all thought was going to shut down Hill last week in the run game, but Hill had a great week. So I'm not quite sure whether, you know, I think it's up in the air whether Sims has a good game. But regardless, that Denver's D is good. I would have liked Pitt to hold on to Sims at least one more week to try to get a little bit more value out of him. But the flip side of that coin is the longer you hold on to him, the less trade leverage you have. Suppose he has a terrible game against Denver next week. Right. Then there's no way that Tim's gonna, you know, go straight up Crowder for Sims. And then if Crowder has a bad game next week, Pitt wouldn't even want to trade for him regardless. So if the deal was gonna get done, it had to get done now. So I think it's honestly back and forth. I could see both sides why they did it. Knee jerk was bad for Pitt, but overall now I think both sides it could work out. Only time will tell. Let's see here. So that's pretty much on last week's Pitt. I had a tough Pitt, but you put up 109 points. Did a huge day from Dustin Hopkins, too. What was it, 18 points you put up? No, 19 points you put up, which is ridiculous to get that from your kicker. Just overall wasn't enough, which is aggravating, especially when you're 0-3. He kept messaging us in the SoCal BroCal chat that he was going to kill himself if he didn't win next
week.
But
yeah.
He's still around. Hopefully he's not dead right now with all the protests going on in El Cajon.
Yeah, R.A.P. and peace, Pip, there. Please stay safe in El Cajones.
Yeah, Pip, stay inside. Jesus, you're white. You don't know what's going on out there. Well, moving over to Austin's team, what the hell happened to his call about Ryan Matthews? I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand it's the first time, really his first battle week so far this season, and Sproles went off. The whole, basically everyone on the offense went off except for Matthews. Something about it was a high ankle sprain. Did that happen mid-game, or was that –
I mean,
until after the game.
He only got 2 carries for a -5 yards, so obviously something happened pretty early.
Right.
It looks like it just stiffened up, and they just took him out as a precaution. I mean, if he doesn't get hurt and he performs as well as the other running backs did in that game, I think Ryan Matthews is dead on. Like Austin said, everybody would be wanting to trade for him this week. Like, he would be that guy. And he needed someone like Matthews to go up to try and build some depth, because now Doug Martin's out and Deion Lewis is out and Tom Brady is still suspended for another week. And he's got Corey Coleman with a broken hand. So he's got four guys who won't play at all. And then Tom Brady, who's suspended. So he needed someone to go off like that. The only other guy he could really trade would probably be Jeremy Hill. And the only guy I could see really wanting him is Luke, seeing that he's got the other coin in that Cincinnati running back backfield. But when the bye weeks come around, like Austin, weeks 6, 7, 8 are really heavy for bye weeks. And like those weeks, if Austin is somehow still, you know, getting around somewhere and is, you know, 1 or 2 games back of a playoff spot or something like that, he's really going to struggle if he doesn't have the depth for bye weeks.
Right, absolutely. He had huge performances from Breeze and Hill last week. That's basically the only good thing to happen to his team, only putting up 85 points, which in this day and age in fantasy is not going to get you the win, at least in our scoring system. It's incredible the amount of injuries he has on his roster with Deion Lewis, Doug Martin, Ryan Matthews now questionable. Good, like you said earlier, good thing he's got this bye week to hopefully bounce back from that, and Corey Coleman with a broken hand. So now moving up to like their matchup in general. Pip has a very favorable opponent ranking, especially like we talked about earlier, Crowder versus 30th ranked Cleveland. If he's how, you know, as good as everyone thinks he is, he should have a decent game. This is really going to prove to see, especially if he gets at least 7 targets like he did in the previous 3 games, and he has to put up at least decent numbers. If he can get 18 from or 19 from Hopkins again, plus with the Landry, Jarvis Landry and the Tannehill chemistry that seems to be showing its head there in Miami, I think he could have a decent week. Obviously, Ingram versus San Diego. San Diego's run defense is trash. The defense is not very good in general. I still don't know whether Bosa's going to play. Probably not. Manti Te'o went down. And then again, he had terrible sideline-to-sideline lateral agility anyway, so it wouldn't matter. I like Jatavius Brown even more. I think he has a better shot at covering people in the backfield. Inman's a tough play, but I get it. Not only do you have Cobb on bye week, but you're going to have, you know, Phillip Rivers versus that New Orleans defense, which we all know is the worst in the league. So he was very liable to go off. That Hearns, he got Hearns also in that trade as well for Dez, correct? It was Hearns and Sims, right?
Yeah.
And that Hearns and Blake Bortles chemistry just hasn't been there yet. It's been very disappointing, especially last year where they put up a ton of points.
Right.
On Austin's side, Breeze is always liable to go off. And especially with the Chargers front 7 being so trash, if they can't get any pressure on him, he could have a big day. He will have a big day. I'll put my name on that. I say Breeze puts up at least 20 fantasy points, and that's low end. That's floor.
Yeah.
You could put up easily 30 if you wanted to. Hill's finally having a breakout game, and it was so unlikely to see that versus Denver's defense last week. I thought for sure that Hill was going to have another bad week. I have Hill in one of my other fantasy leagues. I didn't start him. I thought there's no way he's going to have a good game. And lo and behold, he has the best game so far this season. It's obviously early, but if that trend continues, that's going to be huge for Austin. He needs all the points he can get. Matthews, as we talked about, was super disappointing. And so was Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs' point totals over the past 3 weeks were 13.7, 28.7. So everyone was riding high on Stephon, right? Then last game, I don't know, it was against the Panthers D. They have a decent secondary. He only put up 6 points. And I don't think even the Vikings, they didn't even find the end zone until the second half. They may have gotten the win, but it was pretty. Texans defense, I don't like. Obviously, we all know that J.J. Watt's out for the rest of the year. I don't know how much that's going to play a factor because he hasn't really been a factor in general the early 3 games. I think the main reason why he's playing Texans defense is because they're playing Tennessee. He's kind of preying on our boy Marcus. Marcus's offense is ranked 31st in the league. So I think Texans could definitely have a big day for him, at least put up 10. You know, if you can get at least, hell, even 5. Between 5 and 10 points for your defense is really all you can ask for. You just don't want to go negative. Unless you have Denver's defense like me, then you expect 20 every week. Whitaker only had 10 touches last week, and he's now like sufficiently behind Cameron Artis Payne there in the depth chart in Carolina. So I'm not quite sure why he's putting up the flex. I'm looking at his bench right now. I think even if you look at Victor Cruz has hovered around the 10-point mark all 3 weeks so far. So, I'm not one to say what you should do, Austin, but I would definitely take a look at this Fozzie Whitaker and switch it up for Victor Cruz. What do you think about that?
I would disagree. I think Victor Cruz is a third option against a tough Minnesota defense, and Eli Manning is going to really struggle. He's always struggled against Minnesota. There was a stat on our NFL that someone posted where, like, he's thrown the most pick sixes against one team than anyone has in NFL history, and it's Minnesota. Fozzie Whitaker, the Falcons have shown that they can't really stop the run. I mean, you look at what Ingram did last week. It was all Ingram, and I think Fozzie can catch the ball pretty good, too.
He only had 10 carries.
Well, I mean, they were behind most of the game with Minnesota, and they were throwing the ball a lot. So they were trying to catch up through the air. He had five receptions for 34 yards, and I think that's where he's got the edge on Payne. And I think catching or running the ball, Whitaker's a pretty decent play. I don't like Dwayne Washington as Detroit's backup as his RB2. I get he's trying to maybe steal like a goal line touchdown from Theo Riddick, but you're taking a backup guy, essentially a backup and a 1A at your RB2 in your flex spot is just not going to work. Brandon Marshall has been completely underwhelming. Stephon Diggs has been underperforming now, slowly. I mean, really bad week last week, like you said. for me, all those factors going into it, Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks aside, it's a pretty tough matchup with everything that Austin is going with, and I think this is the week that Pip gets his win.
Touching back on Dwayne Washington, it was 45 snaps to 25 compared to Theo Riddick, which is almost double, which is impressive. I can see why you would start Dwayne Washington, but the problem is, he's like the first and second down ball carrier, and Detroit's defense is so bad they get behind so early that they just abandon the run and they go to the pass. And we all know Theo Riddick is the pass catching running back out of the backfield, so I don't like that play either. Totally agree with you. Who do you think? You think Pip's going to win this matchup?
I think Pip wins. I think you got Ingram with the badge, San Diego defense. I like his matchups outside of that. Crowder probably has a decent week. Maybe Hearns and Bortles need some London tea to get things going. I'm not sure about his tight end with Dennis Pitta over Colby Fleener, especially the week that Fleener had last week on Monday night. But, I mean, Pitt paid like $16 for Pitta, so I guess he kind of has to play him, and he would know a lot more about the Oakland defense with tight ends. I remember the Falcons tight ends absolutely destroyed the Oakland defense because the linebackers just could not cover him. So maybe that's what he's going with, but I wouldn't be surprised if Pip leaves a lot of points on his bench with Fleener.
I agree with Fleener. I have Fleener in one of my other leagues, and he was so disappointing in weeks 1 and 2, and finally last week he got together and got in the end zone. I understand why he's playing Pitta. I don't know. If he played Fleener, he'd be able to steal some points from Breeze, but that's going to be up to Pip. I've got it's really tough to choose the winner of this game because one team has Breeze, the other one has Ingram. They're both going to put up points against San Diego's defense. I think, though, Breeze and Cook are probably going to go off. Whitaker and Washington are definitely going to underperform. While Bortles and Hearns, I think this week finally get on the same page against that Indianapolis defense, and I've got Pitt winning this one 120-100.
All right. Moving on to my matchup, I got my first win of the season last week. I finally didn't have a team have the second highest score in the league.
Hey, so did George. So did George.
Well, yeah, well, yeah.
You win, George.
Right. Well, we'll get to that. I'm talking about me now, so let me do that.
All right.
Will Fuller and Hopkins both had equally bad weeks, although I thought they would have equally good weeks against the Pats on a short week, but Arsweiler went full arse on us. Andrew left a ton of points on his bench, which really saved me, considering Julio had a pretty poopy week against the Saints defense, so I'm really glad I didn't have to rely on him. Shout out to Luke, who denied my Golden Tate for Emmanuel Sanders trades on, like, Friday. I really appreciate that, getting the win. I face off against the newly named Mike Wallace and Gromit, who, as Caddyshack Williams, struggled losing Langford for 4 to 6 weeks early against the Cowboys. Macklin and the Chiefs didn't have time to throw the ball a whole lot after picking off Fitzpatrick about 17 million times. 7 from Tammy and Bryant to win it on Monday night. JoJo then wins by 7, and both he and Luke ended up to be 1-2. Ooh, now for this week, Jordan, really, I mean, start Eli Manning. Like, everything I've been saying about the Vikings defense being so good, absolute lie. Absolute lie. Eli really plays really well against Minnesota, and it's not pick sixes that he throws a lot. It's touchdowns. He throws lots of touchdowns. So absolutely start Eli Manning. We're both stuck with poopy RB2 situations. Me with Lacey on a bye. Jordan lost Langford, as I've mentioned. But Jared, what do you have to say about my matchup here?
I think last week, first off, congratulations on your first win.
Thank you.
A big step in the right direction. You're really going to bring up the mood in the clubhouse. I've been hearing reports that your players in the locker room, there was a, you know, people were kind of pissed off at you for, they didn't think you were being a good coach, but, you know, that first win, there's nothing, nothing heals more wounds than a win unless you tear your ACL. so talking about your win last week, congratulations on Rawls getting hurt, and so you only can play Kristen Michael, who had a big game for you last week.
Yep, that was huge.
And also, this, on the flip side of the coin, too, with Jardine, because Jardine has a DT, but you have Emmanuel Sanders. It looks like Simeon there. Like, I for sure thought that we were finally going to see Simeon's, like, you know, rookie mistake, so-called rookie mistake. He was going to, you know, on the road, in Cincinnati, great crowd atmosphere, you know, a playoff playing another playoff team with a decent defense. I really thought he was going to struggle, and lo and behold, he goes off. So congratulations on finally Simeon throwing the ball deep to both Sanders
yeah,
and DP. if he can continue, if they can continue to do that, then I don't see who the hell's going to stop Denver. It just pisses me off. I fucking hate that. But they look great.
Yeah, it only took Sanders and Thomas both saying publicly to the media that Simeon needs to throw the ball deep to them to finally actually get both of them to put up points.
I find it so fucking aggravating that everything just clicks for that godforsaken team. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Brandon. Fuck you. Okay, moving over to Jarch. Dude, what is up with fucking Marvin Jones? Why in the hell?
No idea.
I have Golden Tate. Yeah, I have Golden Tate, one of my other leagues. And I thought for sure Golden Tate would be having the numbers that Marvin Jones had. And I know there was like some conversation between Luke and Jordan before the start of the season talking about Marvin Jones versus Tate.
Yep.
And I was totally on the same side as Luke. I was like, there's no way Tate's going to be the number one there. And all fucking behold, Jones goes off. And also DT finally having a good week. Like I said, same thing about the chemistry with Simeon there. If we want to, Jarch, congratulations on your first win. If you look at the projections at your guys' actually, don't look at the projections. Projections mean fucking nothing.
Yep.
Jarch has a super tough opponent ranking, though, this week, at least in comparison to yours. Marvin Jones went crazy. His stats now were for yards, reception yards over the first 3 weeks now, were 85 yards receiving with zero touchdowns. 118 yards receiving in the second game with zero touchdowns. And then last game, he went for 205 with two touchdowns. So what's this week? Is he going to go for 300 and three scores? Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Please no.
Dez is, I don't know, what, even if he does play, he's not going to be effective. He's got a hairline fracture in his knee.
Yeah.
I doubt he plays, just tough for Jarch. And then also what's interesting is he's starting the Jets' defense. And my question is, which Jets' D shows up to this game? Is it going to be the one where, you know, Rita Silent stands strong and the Jets, you know, they prey on an injured Russell Wilson hobbling around? Or is Rita Silent going to get, you know, swamped with water and then a smart, athletic, what's his name, Russell Wilson goes off and is supposed to Doug Baldwin or whoever is one-on-one with him? So that's definitely going to be huge for Jordan. Let's see what else I've written down. We talked about the Demaryius Thomas Brick. Let's see here. We talked about Christian Michael being the right choice finally, because I know you were constantly going back and forth on who you wanted to start. Did you see that they signed CJ Spiller today?
I did see that. Yeah, I don't think it's going to have any effect. I mean, it's Wednesday and he's got to be ready for an away game by Sunday. Like, I don't see that happening.
Right, and I don't think CJ Spiller is going to be your, you know, change of pace third down back coming out of the backfield. Christian Michael was never that type of running back in the first place. So I don't know. I think you're right. It's not going to have too much. I think it was definitely just a depth signing. Who do you think is going to have a better week this week, Sanders or Demaryius Thomas? That's huge for your guys' matchup.
Yeah, that is. It's very important. The thing I'm worried about is Jordan deciding that Dez Bryant isn't worth starting. And even with his broken leg, like, fantasy football aside, the Cowboys are absolute dumbasses for saying a guy has a hairline fracture in his knee, saying he's week to week if he can play. It's going to take 3 weeks for him to get back. But yeah, we're going to play him on Sunday against the freaking Niners. Like, get your shit together. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And then even if you're going to divulge that type of information, you're telling me that he's not going to get, you know, some chop blocks at that leg if he's one-on-one with any receiver.
Receivers,
anytime he comes in the middle of the block, someone's going to go right for his knee.
Even if he catches the ball, corners are already taught to go low to avoid the helmet-to-helmet penalty. So you're going after a knee that's already hurt? You're asking for him to tear every ligament in his knee or break his leg. Yeah. Like, that turns – that's a three-week injury into a season-ending injury like that.
Right. And going – you would never tackle a wide receiver of the NFL high regardless, but let alone Dez Bryant, who's a monster. They've been going, taking leg shots at him. That's the reason why he has an injury in the first place. It doesn't make any sense. Why they should have not pulled anyone while he was hurt. They should have kept that under wraps. And that's something like the Patriots would have done. But anyway, I think Doyle is a super interesting play for you. He has a catch rate of 86.7. He's 13 for 15. That's the most out of any tight end that has at least 11 attempts thrown their way. The problem is, all the reports I've read is that he's still going to split time with Dwayne Allen. So how do you feel about that?
Well, my thought was I had to get away from Jesse James, who had 2 targets for 10 yards last week. Obviously, right. The Steelers struggled, so that was, I mean, it affected everyone essentially but Antonio Bryant, who still put up 20 points, which is fucking incredible. But my thought with Doyle is, yeah, he had 3 receptions for 2 touchdowns week one and kind of slowed down, but I think that he's starting to have more of a rapport with Luck than Dwayne Allen, and I think that is going to be beneficial. I think it's a good play this week. I'm waiting for Zach Ertz to get healthy. Apparently, he'll come back after the bye, so I'm hoping that works out. I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely need that.
I just felt like Jesse James was a decent play when I got him on Monday night when he got that touchdown, or the first week of the season he got the touchdown and then was okay week two. But last week was just not great, and I'm just lucky that Sanders and Michael went off and kind of saved me that week.
I understand that you got 5 weeks and everything like that, but Terrence West, man, I understand you like to have the bye, but Terrence West, that's a bad play. You really couldn't find anything else on the waiver wire?
Well, on the waiver wire, I picked up Orleans Darkwa, who the Giants running back situation is very questionable right now with the injuries that they're going through. It's possible he takes the starting role if I think it's Rashad Jennings who has the thumb injury if he comes back. So it's questionable if Jennings is going to play and be the starter or if Dark was going to be the starter. Honestly, there wasn't really that much out there on the waiver wire. I sent Duncan some trades for Howard and they were declined. He said he got a ton of those.
Right.
The waiver wire is thin. It's a 12-man league with 2 running backs and a half PPR. Like, running backs catch the ball, so, and people are stacking them. I'm not confident starting Derrick Henry. And I mean, Michael or Rawls is out, and so I mean, West is the only other running back I've got. I mean, he put up decent numbers, and I guess per carry wise has been outperforming Forsett. And against Oakland, I remember watching Coleman had a great week when as a backup when they played the Raiders. So I'm thinking maybe West can kind of do the same thing with Baltimore. But I mean, I think West or maybe Darkwa, if I get some more information on that, is absolutely better than Alfred Morris, though.
I'll agree with you on that. I see we got Kevin White at the flex, definitely uptrending. It's still a tough situation with quarterback play there in Chicago.
Yep.
And then I also think it's interesting you got the Cardinals defense. The same kind of question with what kind of team was going to show up for the Jets and Seahawks matchup. For you, it's the flip side. What Rams offense shows up? Is it going to be the Rams offense that played Tampa Bay and put up, you know, 38 points or whatever it was?
Well, it's Tampa Bay.
Or is it going to be the, you know, the team that showed up week one and couldn't put up a single point? That's going to be both. I think between out of all the matchups, your guys' defensive matchups were definitely the most intriguing, and I think there's going to be a huge swing between you two. I've got you guys definitely at a really close, very, very close game, just like the projections say. I just think it's going to be much lower scoring. I've got, I think Sanders and DT is a draw. I think both of them put up decent points. Johnson and Jones carry Jarch, and that's too much to rely on them. I think Cam proves to be too much for Atlanta's defense, and you get a ton of points out of him this week. I've got you winning this in a squeaker, though, 106-104. Rick.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jordan's team. If he decides not to play Dez Bryant or Dez Bryant is just ruled out, that moves DT into the wide receiver 3 spot. I don't really like any of his other flex plays that he has here. I don't think he plays carry or cadet because that's having 2 backup running backs in there. Steve Smith has, what has he even done this season? 12 points last week, 8 receptions, 87 yards, his best total of the season. Going up against Oakland, like maybe if he gets bumped in there to a flex at the latest, like that's okay. I do think I generally outperform most of Jordan's guys. I really see it as a toss-up, like the projections say. I think it's like a 1 or 2 point thing. I'm pretty hesitant to pick myself just because of my RB poo situation as well as Jordan's RB poo situation. I don't know. It's all a toss-up for me here.
All right. That's way to be on the fence guy there, Rick. What a hot take.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm fence take guy. So moving on, Jared, your matchup, the undefeated one. You snuck away with a whim.
Let's go.
Win against Tim as CJ Anderson and Todd Gurley seemingly flipped roles as to who would be the guy to get less than 7 points. Mike Evans had a huge day, and you were mostly saved by Frank Gore having a big day while the Steelers defense put up -4. Looking to this week, you get Luke and the return of Le'Veon Bell, the newly named Save by Lev Bell. Luke, this is way too early for you to be changing your name, saying your season was saved before a guy has even played a down. Still, I'm sure you can't even describe how happy you are about Bell being back. Maybe Golden Tate proves to be worth something against a very bad Bears defense. But Jared, this is all on you. What do you have here?
Going back to my gutsy win last week by my team, real big team morale booster. Clubhouse was popping afterwards. We were having a good time in there. Finally, we see something from Gurley. You have no idea how happy I was to see him get in the fucking end zone finally. I wasted, you know, first fifth overall pick on him, and he shut the bed for the first 2 weeks. So good to see him in the end zone. Evans and Frank Gore both obviously had good games. Evans is pretty standard now. I know I'm expecting at least 15 from him every week, if not 20 or more. And then Frank Gore is a workhorse. I've got a little stat here for you. On my team, I have Frank Gore with 48 rushes so far in the season, CJ Anderson with 54, and Gurley with 63. All three of those are in the top 10 for most rushing attempts in the NFL right now. So I don't know how you guys let me draft all three of them, but I've got three workhorses on my team. I really feel like just the amount of opportunities that they get has led me to the position I'm in now. Tim got absolutely railed by Pittsburgh's D. That game was so fucking wild. I was not expecting Wentz to play so well. He's been incredible. And for Pittsburgh's D, they looked anemic. They looked so bad, especially against a rookie quarterback like that. Like, how do you let that happen? And then he left Crowder on his bench. Definitely helped me. Going over to Luke, Stafford and T.Y. both had great weeks. Not shocking at all. Then again, T.Y.'s first 2 weeks were mediocre at best. Looks like he's finally turned it on there. It was against San Diego, but he's playing Jacksonville next week. I expect him to have similar numbers probably. I like the Dolphins' D play against Cleveland in one of my other fantasy leagues. I do the same exact thing as Luke. I pick defenses on matchups. And obviously you look at that, you see Dolphins' D versus Cleveland with Cody Kessler starting at quarterback. Like, absolutely, I will start Dolphins' defense all day. And it definitely didn't pan out the way I thought it would. At least it wasn't negative points, but I totally see the rationale behind playing him. And then obviously we talked about this earlier, but George fucking Marvin Jones and Demaryius Thomas both had super solid weeks, but not enough to, or no, and it wasn't enough. Sorry, George won.
That's, yep.
That's right. George got his first win. Luke, though, fuck, I'm so upset. How come I'm the one that has to play him when fucking Le'Veon Bell comes back? And second of all, who in the hell let Luke draft Le'Veon Bell? Can we, like, get a draft recap? How does that happen?
Hold on. I got to go to my email to find that.
I'll just keep talking. When you find that, you come back to me.
Yeah.
Let's see here. He named his team Saved by the Bell. Honestly, I'm pretty scared. I think that's a maybe. I think Luke gets a huge bounce here in the right direction with Bell coming back. He's got great opponent rankings with AJ and T.Y. AJ's playing the 26th ranked defense. T.Y.'s playing the 21st. That's the most super favorable. I have Golden Tate in my other leagues. He's been so disappointing. I understand your heartbreak, Luke, even though you try to unload him on me. It's fucking stupid. I'm not going to take that trade. I also want to take a shot at Luke's bench. You have 6 running backs on your bench. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't understand what you're trying to do with that. I think that's just a bad play in general. On my side, is Russell Wilson hurt? I don't fucking know. It seems like every week there's some sort of ailment, and then he comes out and he plays. So I don't know what to believe anymore. I ended up picking up Dak Prescott off the waivers, and I'm stashing him just in case. I'll be up. Let's see here. They play at New York, I believe. So I'll be up early Sunday morning making sure that Russell's actually going to play. I'm kind of scared about that, to be honest. Gurley's playing Arizona this week, which I don't like that matchup at all. I think that's going to be tough on me. My opponent rankings overall, the teams I'm playing this week, are all ranked fairly high. Every week I play this game, who am I going to start, Eric Ebron or Julius Thomas? This week, going with Ebron. Matt Stafford went absolutely off last week. Ebron's having, he's on projections, have a career year. I mean, yeah, career year. Problem is his injuries. Can't stay healthy. That's another guy I'm monitoring all the way up till Sunday morning. I've got Denver's D, my own defense, playing my number one receiver. Obviously not ideal. But another shining spot in my lineup is Frank Gore. He gets literally all the touches there in Indianapolis. And anytime there's any sort of goal line situation, I know that he's going to get at least a shot at the goal line. So that's pretty much my take. I mean, I'm 3-0. I'm feeling good. I like my team so far. I like the way they're trending. What do you think?
Okay, first off, let's rally back to the draft. We'll start with the number 10 pick, Caddyshack Williams. That's Jordan. He takes David Johnson. Scott goes at 11, takes Lamar Miller, and Pip lets out the loudest, angriest fuck I've ever heard in my life. He then responds by reaching on Dez Bryant in the first round, follows that up with Mark Ingram. Scott goes with Allen Robinson. Jordan goes Keenan Allen, RIP in peace. Duncan goes Jordy Nelson. The Tolbert rapport at that point was Andrew. He took Brandon Marshall. Fronick took Devontae Freeman. And then Scott got Le'Veon Bell.
You mean Luke got Le'Veon Bell?
Luke got Le'Veon Bell, yeah.
I guess so. Like, it doesn't really any of our faults. I mean, he's a top five, arguably, you know, really close to Antonio Brown caliber fantasy player. And for him to drop all the way to 20 like that, I guess it's not really their fault. He was at the right spot at the right time. I mean, his team has definitely suffered for it. Let's not, you know, kid ourselves here. He's 1-2. He's not 3-0 like Scott and I. If Le'Veon Bell had been playing all three of these weeks, who knows where he could be. He could be right up there with us. So, I don't know. I guess I'm not as pissed off as I should be. I'm hoping that he's not in football shape. He probably is. This is me wishful thinking. He has some sort of, you know, like soft tissue injury because he's not in football shape. He's not football ready. He takes a hit. He pulls a hammy. That's literally all I can hope for. I know he knows the playbook. I'm sure he's probably been working out super hard. I'm pretty scared, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so then going back to your matchup here for my thoughts on it, I don't like Gio Bernard as an RB2. I think, I mean, he's got all of these running backs. I mentioned it when we talked about Austin's matchup that I think Austin trading him Hill or getting Bernard or something like that would be really beneficial in Austin's case to just add some depth. I mean, Luke's got all these running backs on his team, and Austin's going to need depth when, you know, bye weeks come hit his team because he kind of snuck away with those this week. I see a blowout in this one for the Bengals against Miami on Thursday night. So A.J. Green points early. Gio Bernard maybe gets some catches in there. Excuse me. But then I see them running the ball, and I think that benefits Hill a lot more in the long run. I get his PPR value. I just, again, an RB2 isn't that great, and all of his running backs that he's got stashed on his team are all 1As or 2s or 3s that he's just waiting for an injury to happen. So all of a sudden a guy has value so he can force a trade onto him. Looking at your team, Ebron or Thomas is a tough one. Absolutely this week, go with Ebron against the Bears. Cole Beasley, yep. I think, is a long stretch for your third wide receiver. I mean, put up 10.5, 10.8 3 weeks so far, but really I don't think he puts up any good numbers again. Mike Evans gets points, but I don't think it hurts the Broncos defense that much. They'll probably make up for it with turnovers. And then Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott. Wilson's got the same injury that Mariota had when the Ducks, it was the year they went to Stanford. It was our junior year. So that would be 13?
Yeah.
It's the same MCL injury that Mariota had in 2013 is the one that Wilson has. So it's a pretty major injury, is the sprained MCL, and it needs time to heal. The Jets front seven is very tough, even though the Jets have kind of been railed in the past. Honestly, I mean, I think of the Niners defense on the road, at home. Ooh. Oh, man. I would be, if I was you, I would be very tempted to play Prescott over Wilson this week.
And then plus you double dip with Cole Beasley points. I honestly think Cole Beasley versus San Francisco, he's averaging 10 points. If I get another 10 from him, I'm completely content with that.
I think it's a stretch for him to get 10 points for a fourth week in a row. I don't see that happening.
Dude, he's Dak's favorite target. He's been throwing the ball basically solely to him.
It's just looking at it, it looks wrong. I see your argument and I get it, but just looking at it to me, it just doesn't look like it's a good play.
There's no one else on my bet. Like, who am I going to put? Kenny Stills? That looks like the worst paragraph song. I mean, cool.
Yeah, no, I understand. But my prediction for this one, looking at the opponent rankings and what I generally think might happen, I see Luke having a pretty big one. I think Golden Tate maybe proves his worth. T.Y. has a big week. A.J. has a big week. Le'Veon comes back, I think, strong on Sunday night. Stafford has a big week. His opponent rankings, it's a whole lot of green. And I think Luke puts up one of the higher scores this week. I've got him by 7 or more.
Yeah, I've got even worse than that. In my projection for this week, I've got Luke winning. The bell rings hard in his comeback while injured Russell Wilson holds me back. I've got me losing Luke 135-115.
Wow. All right. So that knocks you out of the undefeated club. Real quick, off the top of your head, does Scott stay undefeated this week?
Let me take a look. I haven't really looked at his matchup.
So one undefeated to another, who wins this week?
Well, I think it's probably going to just be status quo. I mean, we don't like the projections at all, but Scott is a 13-point favorite. I mean, who am I to bet that he doesn't win again? I mean, Brandon's 1-2. It seems mediocre, I guess. I guess Scott wins, which is aggravating if he's 4-0 and I go 3-1. But it's early. So much more fantasy football to go. So many more aggravating, anger, rage-inducing weeks left.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jared, for being on and finally making it through your job and all that crap that you had to do a couple weeks ago. Appreciate it. Good stuff tonight.
All right. Yeah, thanks, man. Love being on. Let me know next time you need somebody to come on. I'm always down to do this. Once again, thanks again for doing this for us. And say hello to the wife and kid for me, would you?
That's going to do it for the Semi Products podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you need more help with your fantasy football lineup and have questions about the players that weren't answered here, you can listen to Fantasy Football Today starting at 8 a.m. out here on the West Coast and live on 95.3 The Score. This team also has a daily show at 9 a.m. that can be heard on CBSSports.com. You can also send in questions on Twitter using the hashtag FFT as well as the handle @CBSFantasy. Also, after Duck Games on 95.3 The Score, there is Eye on Fantasy Football. This show starts at 10 p.m., also on CBSSports.com, as well as the CBS Sports app for iPhone and Android. Once again, thank you all for listening to the Semi Products podcast, and best of luck to everyone in their matchups in Week 4.